You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Dolphins versus everyone.
Hello, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to the Dolphins vs. Everyone podcast here at DolphinsTalk.com. I am very happy to be joined by San Francisco 49ers super fan, part of the Lingus Mafia, Fausty Walnuts. Fausty, how are you doing tonight?
Fantastic. What do you hear? What do you say? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We had on Cav, your partner there from the Lingus Mafia, when Miami played the Bears last month. Mm-hmm. And now we got San Francisco. I go, well, I better have on Fausty to talk about San Francisco in this week's game. So let's start off talking about San Francisco. They're 7-4 this year. Are you happy with the start of the season? Have they met your expectations? Have they fallen a little short? Where are you on the 7-4 start for San Francisco in 2022?
They're in a good spot right now. I mean, being in first place, they're one game ahead of Seattle. They have the tiebreaker with them. But when you look at the season, you look at they should have beat the Bears week one, and then they should have beat Denver. And I'm like, how did they lose to Denver? How did they
11-10, that showcase of offense that week.
Yeah. So, I mean, the week one, it was wet in Chicago. So that one was kind of, even going into the game, I was really nervous about that. Plus with Trey Lance starting out the season, which that's a whole other thing I'll get into later. And then I think what hurt him with the Broncos game was that was Jimmy Garoppolo's first start. And I think even though he's been with the team, it's kind of he was out all training camp. He didn't play at all in preseason. And they just kind of threw him in there like, all right, here's the keys to the car again. Go out there. And the offense just sputtered.
Yeah. And speaking of Jimmy G, this guy just wins football games year after year, and it seems like San Francisco can't get rid of him fast enough or tries to get rid of him fast enough. And like a bad penny, he's always back under center, just winning football games for the most part.
Right.
Where are you on Jimmy G, Trey Lance? Because if this year he makes another run deep into the playoffs, maybe takes you to a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. let's not even say win, just sort of takes you there again, how can you move on from this guy? At some point, you have to just say – we've come so close with him. I mean, what's your thought on that whole situation? Because that's a weird situation.
I love Jimmy Garoppolo. My mom actually met him, and he's a really nice guy. Even my dad, get this, my dad, he hates football. I grew up watching football with my mom. And they went to a fundraiser at the San Francisco Zoo. They were naming a snow leopard after Jimmy Garoppolo. And my dad's aunt is a big donor at the zoo. So they got to meet, it was Joe Staley and Jimmy Garoppolo were there. And my dad was like, man, I can't believe they're such nice guys. You know, you see these athletes on TV yeah. or, you know, you just think they're one way, but they were really nice guys. That aside, I still think he's a great quarterback. He's very polarizing. I kind of think he's our like how Tony Romo was with the Cowboys, where Tony Romo won games, but then he'd always lose in the playoffs. And then yep. to the outside, to the rest of the league, everybody used to shit on Tony Romo, right? And that's kind of how it is with Jimmy G. You see the memes about how the whole team just carries Jimmy, and Jimmy's just the guy who does minimal work on the group project, but he always wins. But he doesn't have that resume of where you look back and say, Jimmy won that game for us, where he had to throw for 400 yards and throw four touchdowns. He hasn't had those games, but he does just enough to win. And I mean, like you said, he just wins. They showed the graphic of his first of however many starts he's had, and he's got the same record as Steve Young and a better record than Joe Montana as a starter for the Niners. And I think so. Shanahan, when he took over the team, everybody knew his original plan was he wanted Kirk Cousins. He was waiting for Cousins' contract to run out so he could bring Cousins, because he coached Cousins in Washington. And then Garoppolo just kind of fell in their lap in the middle of the season. and they made that trade for him. And then Garoppolo ended up working out and they won. You know, he took him to a Super Bowl, but he's had the injuries. And a lot of people point to, there was a game, I believe it was 2 years ago. I think it was either Sunday night or Monday night. And they just got smoked here in Santa Clara against the Bills. And I think Josh Allen is the type of quarterback that Shanahan wants to run his offense. Someone who is mobile, can throw the deep ball. And, you know, Jimmy's not mobile. He seemed more mobile his first few seasons with the team, but then
prior to the injury, and then he got hurt. He's
out, the same. And then I think this year he's kind of moving around a little more, but I mean, he's not a statue like Ben Roethlisberger or anything, but I don't know. He gets hit. Sometimes he holds the ball too long. And the most frustrating thing this year was not seeing what Trey Lance could do. That injury really bummed me out, because now it's another year of waiting.
But
thank God they still have Jimmy, because they would not be in the position they're in now without
him. No, not at all. Because sure. They were so close to moving him in the offseason, and there were so many rumors out there, and they were so close, and early in the year, down goes Lance. It's like, well, thank God we didn't trade him type of deal, because mm-hmm. if you did, you guys would – because you also don't have a pick in round one. It went to right. us, and then we sent it off to the Broncos. So it sucks to lose, but when you lose and you don't have a pick in round one, that just makes the season totally unbearable, because really yeah. there's nothing to root for then to even get a higher pick. And I think with Jimmy G, I compare him a little bit to our quarterback in Miami with Tua, but not really, in that they both just win games. Now, mm-hmm. I think what you said about Jimmy G is he's along for the ride. He's not sort of driving the bus, meaning they win games, but they don't win games because of
that's,
him. He's just sort of
the perception, but
yes,
everybody else around the team, they think they don't care. They see exactly. what he does behind the scenes. Apparently,
I mean, if you just, win,
yeah, he's like above and beyond. They say as a teammate, like, Zach Wilson, you know, a couple weeks ago, he didn't want to take the blame, right? He's like, did you let the defense down?
No, absolutely not.
Nope. Where Garoppolo's the opposite will say, like, yeah, I should have made that pass. You know, it's on me. You know, even if
he'll fall on the sword, even if it's not true. Yeah,
that's just, you know, because the guy learned under Brady, so he knows.
Yeah,
he knows
what to say, when to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think with Tua, what we've seen this year is, yeah, he wins a lot, but there's been a lot of games where they win because of him. He's got those 300-yard days, three touchdowns, mm-hmm. 400-yard days, four touchdowns. So they both win, but I can see the difference in each of them, where one of them sort of getting credit, because here's why they're winning. Look at those numbers, where Jimmy G, the numbers aren't there. But, yeah, I mean, he's got to make plays to win. And then you guys added Christian McCaffrey a mm-hmm. few weeks back. I know he's already hurt a little bit, which probably not yeah. surprising yeah. with the knee. But Jeff Wilson, you guys traded away. And with McCaffrey's injury history, that was a curious trend. Like, why are they getting right. rid of anybody? That guy is always hurt. Wilson's been great with Miami mm-hmm. so far. And I think he's going to be real motivated this week, because he's already said some things
right.
where he was hurt when they traded for McCaffrey. What are your thoughts on the McCaffrey trade?
Oh, when they got him, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked for two reasons. One, that they actually pulled the trigger on it. And number two, yeah. it was at the same time, it feels like, well, Shanahan's offense, which also McDaniel's offense, right? You could throw anybody back yep. there, and it seems like this guy can run for, how you know, 100 yards. Where when they first came in, Shanahan and Lynch took over, they signed Jerick McKinnon. He was supposed to be the big running back. Then he got hurt. And then they drafted Joe Williams.
The kid from Ohio State. Oh, yeah, Joe Williams.
Joe Williams was a bust. And then they had signed Mostert, who was bouncing around the league, right? He was off the practice yep. squad. He got a shot. Awesome. Jeff Wilson was another guy, undrafted, was on special teams, and then somebody get hurt, next yep. man up. Jamichael Hasty was another guy they ended up trading away.
And then you had the kid from Ohio State, too.
Yes, they drafted Trey Sermon. Right. Yeah. And then Sermon got outplayed by Elijah Mitchell, who was drafted in, I think it was the sixth yeah. round. And so Mitchell was coming back, and I think that's why they felt Jeff Wilson was expendable. and then here's Elijah Mitchell getting hurt and I see why they liked Mitchell. Mitchell's a little bit more explosive, but man, yeah, it does hurt now with the depth, because now behind McCaffrey, it's two rookies. They drafted Ty Davis Price in the third, but he's hasn't been playing much. They've had the other kid that was undrafted, JP Jordan Mason. They call him JP Mason. He's been actually on the roster, but he's been playing special teams, and he hasn't looked that great until actually this last game with the Saints, when McCaffrey, when they took him out at the end of the game, Mason had some nice runs that actually sealed the game. So it looks like that's probably the guy that's going to be backing up McCaffrey this week. McCaffrey, the report I read today from practice was he was practicing on the sidelines. So that's never
good. Limited, I saw. Yeah. He was limited. So, mm-hmm. which probably means he's probably going to play, just maybe sort of watch his workload, how many snaps he's actually on the field. Now, this Miami team is like San Francisco East. We got a bunch of ex-San Francisco guys, Trent Sheerfield. We got pretty much your entire offensive staff. We got the tight ends coach. We got Wes Welker. We got the head coach.
Yeah.
We got River Craycraft, Trent Sheerfield. Yep. We got Mostert, Wilson, obviously. A lot of ex-49ers.
Just need to bring Matt Breida back.
No, we had him for 1 year. Matt Breida, I'm sure is a very nice man, but just wasn't going to work out here. So I guess I always like to ask, when you get someone on who roots for another team who doesn't sort of follow Miami day in, day out like I do, like the people who listen, what are your thoughts on Tua from an outsider's perspective, someone who doesn't, you know, watch every snap and follow him every day? What are your thoughts on Tua?
I will say I was completely wrong on him going into the season. When we did our football preview on the Lingus Mafia podcast, we were saying, or at least I know I was saying, this could be ugly. Like, this could be, who was I comparing him to? But I remember joking that week the NFL had posted a video of Tua where he was doing like the practice drills. Yeah. And he, like, the first two throws, he overthrew the dummies. And then the last one, he hit it, but it was like, it would have been the receiver's knees. And I remember, like, why would they show this? And if you look at the comments, even Dolphins fans were like, delete this, you know? And then there was another video someone posted, like, wow, if you flip the video backwards to make Tua look like he's right-handed, he could really sling the ball. He looks like he could really
throw. I've seen those videos. It is weird how when someone throws right-handed, it looks more natural. It looks like there's a lot of zip. But lefty, same play, obviously, same pass, it looks just unnatural. So I think that's just something in all of our mind that sort of
when I was younger, it took a minute to get used to seeing Steve Young throw lefty for whatever reason. It just looks different, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Tua's looked great.
He really has. I mean, he's in the MVP talk, which I think even the most optimistic fans of the Dolphins, the fact he's even like considered top two or top three in that hunt right now. And now as we enter December, I think even they didn't expect that. And he's just been fantastic in every game he sort of played in. Take away the games where he got hurt, obviously. It happens in this league. Mm-hmm. But he's been great. And now this Sunday, he's going up against a team that has a great, great defense. So we're going to see this offense, which is ranking the like number two in passing, three overall, six in scoring, against one defense that's ranked number one in pretty much every meaningful category. How do you think it's going to play out on Sunday?
It does make me nervous because as great as the Niners' defense has been, all I think about is the Kansas City game where they just torched the Niners. And so I could see that happening again. But there is rain in the forecast, so that could slow the offense down on both sides.
And also the key, I think, for Miami, which is what's been sort of the fear of all the fans this week for Miami, is Teron Armstead, our left tackle.
Right.
His status is up in the air. And when he's not on the field, it's like a house of cards.
Pretty bad, right?
Oh, they're brutal. Brutal. So they're going to have to sort of change the offense to maybe more of a running game, short passes, because he can't pull out of the ball too long. He'll get killed. And just sort of change up the offense that's worked so far. There's some hope yesterday that Armstead might be able to play through this week. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I think it's going to come down to, do we let him try to play through it this week, or do we rest him a week or two and hopefully he's then ready for the stretch run?
Right.
And how much do you want to put him through? But it should be a good game. I think it's, I mean, it could go either way. I was looking at San Francisco's schedule, and it's not their fault. Outside of the Chargers and Seattle, they haven't really beat anybody any good. Not their fault, because on their schedule is right. Atlanta. On their schedule is the Panthers. On their mm-hmm. schedule is the Broncos. They play who's out there.
Yeah,
Rams having a down year. Mm-hmm. Arizona's having a down year. They haven't beaten anybody any good except for the Chargers and Seattle. So we'll see.
The next ought to be a good game. Dolphins, and then they have Tampa Bay at home here also.
Oh, Tom Brady going back to San Francisco. He'll be motivated. Yeah. All right, before we wrap this up here, because I know you and Cav cover the wonderful world of pro wrestling, mm-hmm. which I do watch. I don't watch it like I used to, as I told Cav. I watch it here and there. I follow it more online than I actually watch it. And I'm always curious about this AEW. This AEW is this some AEW. Company. Yeah, it's this AEW, because they came on the scene. They were the quote-unquote alternative to WWE. Right. All the fans that were chased away are going to come back and love this. This is a whole new product. And in 3 years, as I told Cav, I've sampled it. I've watched it. I even paid for a pay-per-view once. They haven't been able to win someone like me over. Mm-hmm. And I watched that show last night. And I saw the ratings. It was awful. I think it was like a 0.26 in the demo. It was just brutal, right. Which I can see why. What are your thoughts on this AEW? Because that show last night to me made no sense at all.
Yeah.
Someone casually watches it.
We just reviewed it on the Wrestlingus show, which is also on the Lingus Mafia feed. And we spent a good almost hour and a half reviewing Rampage and Dynamite. And usually it doesn't take us that long, but we had somebody on, Suit Williams, who is a big AEW fan. And so we said, come on the show with us. You defend this.
Exactly.
So you're right. There is a lot of stuff. What annoys me a lot is that Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor and they don't have their own show yet. So there's a lot of Ring of Honor stuff sprinkled into the show. So there's a million belts. You have your AEW title, you have your TNT title, then there's a TBS title, a women's title, a tag title, a trios title. Then they just came out with the All Atlantic title. That's just the AEW titles. Now they have Ring of Honor on TV. So you have Chris Jericho is the Ring of Honor champion. Then there's the Ring of Honor Pure champion. Then there's the Ring of Honor Tag champions. Now the Ring of Honor Women's champion just showed up. So there's a billion titles on the show. But MJF is a must-watch television.
Yeah. He's the one thing that's sort of like the shining star of the whole product.
And the matches are usually good. There's not really a lot of clunky matches, except the women. The women matches are usually pretty bad.
They stink.
And I really want AEW to be good because I feel it helps motivate WWE to be better. But it can be good at times, but then there are times where you're just like, this should be easy, but they do seem to cater too much to the hardcore fans. So they do a lot of things where they're catering to the people that are already watching it. They're not doing enough to grab someone like you to bring them back in. I mean, I think they tried with, they brought CM Punk back. CM Punk, everybody's been clamoring for CM Punk for the longest time. I don't know if you were a CM Punk fan, but the thought was it would bring back a lot of fans, but he didn't really move the needle when you saw
He didn't move
ratings.
The needle. It did get me more interested in it, but then I see him fighting guys I never heard of. I'm like, what's going on here? But
that was
thing.
We would get frustrated. He would have a match on Wednesday night against somebody we'd never heard of, and he'd go 20 minutes. And we're like,
exactly. This is stupid.
Why? Just you should be beating this guy in 5 minutes. And then they say, we're trying to make this new guy look good. But then you wouldn't see this new guy on TV for 4 weeks.
And nobody ever heard of them. And then they bring in all these guys from Japan. Nobody knows who they are. They don't tell you who they are. And everyone's just supposed to know. Mm-hmm. And the week ahead on Cav was the week Jeff Jarrett came back. And I go, Cav, this is their jump the shark moment right here. This is their jump the shark moment when you have to bring Jeff Jarrett, not as like behind the scenes. I know he has a job behind the scenes. I get it. But the fact they even gave him 2 seconds of TV time, this is now quickly turning into TNA. Mm-hmm. You got the Elite come out to a song that was written in 1976 that nobody under the age of 50 even knows of. They're coming out to this song from Kansas. It was written in 1976.
Yeah, last week on the podcast, I went down the list of all the songs that they've paid the license to use on their show. And
Kansas.
It's Kansas. CM Punk's, you know. Oh, shoot. What's his name? Well, Orange Cassidy was coming out to Jefferson Starship.
Jungle Boy had
Jungle
one.
Jungle Boy. All this Jungle is like Boy. 80s. The only one that's current is the guy that they probably don't have to pay the license to, and that's Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't, whatever. That's a whole different thing. But this is Kansas. Kansas should pay them to play this song. It's old. and you got them out there, and I don't know. You can't, to me, I'm perplexed by the whole thing. I see this on Wednesday nights when they're on, I'm usually doing a show here, so it's on, you know, in the background. You see a TV behind me. And I just look over and go, what the hell are they doing half the time? And it's just crazy. But, yeah, we'll see where that goes. I don't know. With a 0.26, though, that best of seven series, they might want to reevaluate that thing going seven, maybe, and then five or six. I think people are sick of watching the same matchup.
Well, they're taking next week off, so we're not going to get not getting game four until in 2 weeks. But it's going to go seven in L.A. at the Fabulous Forum. It's inevitable.
It's their home state, and they want to get the pop. Yeah.
Before we get going, let me switch back to the Dolphins. I want to ask you, because I miss Mike McDaniel. Please tell me you guys are just in love with this guy.
Dolphins fans are in love with him. And they release each week now the videos of him mic'd up on the sideline. And it's like pure entertainment. They should charge for this. I mean, the guy is just funny. He's witty. When they played the Bears, Justin Fields running up and down the field. He's yelling him at the sideline to stop it. And, I mean, the guy gives these press conferences where they'll ask him a question, and he's very philosophical. You ask him a question like, how you feeling today? He'll go on for 25 minutes telling you about something. But a lot of this stuff is funny. Mm-hmm. He's lighthearted. And as long as they win, that act works.
Yeah.
When they if you're not winning, that act ain't going to fly with any fan base in this league. But – what he's done with this offense, because we haven't had a good offense since the mid-90s. I mean, we've had brutal offenses. And he's turned around this offense. He saved the quarterback who was picked number 5 overall. You can say take Herbert, take Tua. That doesn't matter. Right. The fact he saved this kid and pretty much saved the 5th pick of the draft, which is a big pick. You can't miss on that. Fans just love him for that alone. You get Tyreek Hill in the mix. He's built up a real NFL offense, which I think the last time Miami had a top 10 offense was 94. 95.
Oh, wow.
We're in 2023, and we're probably going to end the year with the top 10, probably top 5, actually, offense. So, yeah, he can't do it. He can walk on water right now. He can run for mayor. He'd win, and they're 8-3. They're probably going to make the playoffs unless they totally fall apart. They're probably going to make the playoffs. They have a chance to win the East. If they win the East, then they get a home playoff game. I mean, he is you know, they wanted Sean Payton in the offseason. They tried trading for Watson last year. Mike McDaniel wasn't top of their wish list. He fell in their lap. But, you know, thank God to the football gods it happened, because they've totally turned this organization around. And now we got hope, which we haven't had in many, many years.
Do you know his story, like how he got into coaching or how he got involved with football?
Yeah, he was a ball boy for the Broncos.
Do you know how he became a ball boy? Do you know the backstory behind that?
I don't, you know what, I probably did at one point. I can't recall off the top of my head. He was just, I thought he was just hanging around at the practices.
He was hanging out at the practices.
Hat fell or something.
He was hanging out at practices because he was living with his single mom, his only child. Yeah. And during the summer, he hung out at the camp, and he would just try to get players' autographs. And so he had a bunch of football cards, and he had some players sign, and he goes, well, when they come back, I got more cards to sign. Maybe I'll take my hat off. I'll take my Charlotte Hornets hat off, and maybe they won't recognize me. I'll get more autographs. So he did it. It worked. When he went to go get his hat, wherever he left it, the hat was gone. And so somebody was going into the office, and he told them, like, hey, I lost my hat. If it turns up, you know, can you let me know or whatever? And so the guy says, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, come back tomorrow. So when he came back the next day, he goes, hey, I found your hat. It was a brand new Charlotte Hornets hat. It had the tag on it. He goes, so he goes home and he goes, mom, look, you know, this nice man bought me this hat. And she's like, who is this guy? And why is he buying, you know, my 9-year-old son a brand new hat? So he introduced the guy to his mom. The guy was like the video editor or something like that. Nah, then his mom ended up marrying the gentleman. And so that's how he got involved.
Then he gets his foot in the door with the Broncos, and he followed all the Shanahan family to Houston, Atlanta, to Cleveland, and he was in that mix. And I know he also had some off-the-field issues where he was out of the league for like a year or two. Clean that up. And, you know, right now he is probably going to – I don't want to say probably. He's in the mix to win Coach of the Year. I think if they finish with 10 or 11 wins, I think he's – they'll probably win it, actually.
If there's any way you could get Dan Soder, the comedian, on, he's very good friends with Mike McDaniel. They grew up together. And it's funny because Dan Soder grew up in Colorado also with him. But his – I think it was his dad grew up in the Bay Area, so he was a Niner fan. So Dan Soder was a Niner fan, and McDaniel was a Broncos fan. But they grew up together, and I guess they were kind of outcasts or whatever. But they're still friends. And I guess McDaniel was like, hey, it's my first press conference. Can you, like, give me a joke or something to kind of lighten the mood or whatever?
So now he's
a Dolphins fan. He goes, I'm still a Niner fan, but whatever team McDaniel's on, that's the team I'm also going to root for. But it was like his dream when he was, like, with the Niners, because he's like, oh, my God, my best friend is now the coach on my favorite team growing up.
Yeah, and he's been great so far, and hopefully it continues. We'll see what happens this weekend. It's going to be a good game. Miami's on the road for 3 weeks at the 49ers, at the Chargers, at the Bills. That is a brutal stretch. They got to come out of this with at least one or two wins. Just don't lose them all. But thank you so much for a few moments every time, Fausti. Everyone follow the Lingus Mafia on Twitter, at Lingus Mafia, and also go to patreon.com/Lingus Mafia for all the latest football, pro wrestling, guy talk, all that good stuff. It's the Lingus Mafia with Fausti and Cav and those guys. They will keep you entertained for sure. Everyone, thank you for listening. Fausti, again, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again after a while.